Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. In today's presentation, we're going to be talking about the fruits of the fear of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. Again, the title for today's presentation is The Fruits of the Fear of God. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up again above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Again, that is Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. By the time of King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22, the kings in Israel and Judah were ignoring the commandment that he shall read therein all the days of his life, because verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 22 said this, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. What a sad commentary upon the kings of Israel and Judah. It drives home the truth of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, which says this, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Let us continue our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 and 13, and also in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20 says this, And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. One of the things I want to emphasize from these two passages of Scripture is that the fear of the Lord is a learned behavior. It is something that must be taught to us, to our children, to our church members, and to our leaders. The main source for that teaching is our Bibles. In America, we now have two biblically illiterate generations that not only do not fear God, they hate God. Even Satan knows the productive nature of the fear of the Lord. Satan stated this in Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's quoting Satan from Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now turn into your Bibles to Psalm 36, and let's read verses 1 through 4 out of that psalm. Verse 1, The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. That is Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. The phrase, the fear of the Lord, occurs 30 times in our King James Bible. The phrase, fear the Lord, occurs 75 times in our King James Bible. The phrase, the fear of God, occurs 7 times in our King James Bible. There are many other combinations of words that make up phrases that teach us to fear the Lord. Now, I want you to listen carefully as I read the following verses. Job 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in fear of the Lord all the day long. And again, that's Proverbs 23, verse 17. The absence of the fear of the Lord produces that which is written in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, where we hear the following. Romans chapter 1, verse, we'll start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Next up, we have Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And here's the key verse, folks. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And of course, that final verse says it all. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I mean, you could go back and dig and do a month's worth of commentary out of Romans chapter 1 alone to see what happens when you do not have any fear of God. And look at that long, sordid list of stuff that happens when you no longer have fear of God. Now, all of this comes about because there is no fear of God in the American people and in the overwhelming majority of American churches. Our people have become as the mockers, scoffers, and devils of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and Jude verses 8 through 19, where we see the following written. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Keep in mind still now, folks, we're talking about what a lack of fear of God results in. We've already seen it in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and we're getting ready to see another display of what happens when there is no fear of God when we read Jude 8 through 19. We have this in, actually I'm going to pick up and read all the way back into verse 4 and read verses 4 through 19. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Note that right there, folks. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That is Job, Jude, verses 4 through 19. Now, if you look closely at the book of Jude, the whole book of Jude is a warning to genuine Bible-believing Christians about what the church will look like before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Jude 19 is the key verse to the interpretation of the book of Jude. The book of Jude describes church members that are Christian in name only. Jude 19 says that they have not the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. And we know from Romans chapter 8 what that means. If they have not the Spirit, then they are none of His. In other words, they are none of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not belong to Him. What that means is that they are unsaved, hell-bound church members. They do not fear God. What that means is that they are unsaved, hell-bound church members. They do not fear God. In fact, our people and most of our churches mock and scorn God. They do, in fact, hate God. That hatred manifests itself in the fact that they love death. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says that all that hate God love death. If you want proof of American hatred for God, look no further than America's abortion clinics. The great American Holocaust perpetrated upon God's unborn babies is worse than the atrocities committed by Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, and Adolf Hitler. We even have people who claim to be born-again Christians advocating for and participating in abortions. The reason that anyone participates in infanticide or the murder of babies is that they do not fear God and they hate God. I repeat, they do not fear God. The reason mass murderers and serial murderers murder is because they have no fear of God. One of the major reasons the murders in our cities have skyrocketed is because the American conscience has been totally seared and totally desensitized by legalizing the state-sanctioned murder of over 70 million babies in America by hit men and hit women falsely called doctors who work in the baby slaughterhouses that they euphemistically refer to as abortion clinics. Of course, those baby murders are not recorded in the murder statistics of any local, state, or federal government entity. Yet another reason the murder rates are skyrocketing in America is because young minds are being totally corrupted and desensitized by the murder, mayhem, and Satanism that is promoted through the carnage of vile video games. Another huge reason that crime is becoming more and more frequent and more violent in America is because if crime is punished at all, that punishment comes after much unjust and ungodly delay. Most of the time, those delays are used to commit more crimes, and many of them much more violent than the crimes for which the criminals were originally arrested for. Then we have the no cash bails and early paroles of violent criminals that pervert and subvert our whole system of injustice that is falsely called a system of justice. The victims become further victims of the injustice of a justice system that will not carry out just punishment for the criminals that they coddle. God's commentary on this wicked and vile system of injustice is given to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. I want you to listen very carefully and heed the following verses. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Let me reread that verse again. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Continue on in verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Repeat again that verse, and I know this is the third time. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The root problem is identified in verse 13 as being because he feareth not before God. All that being said, what follows is some of the things that the fear of the Lord will accomplish in mankind. First of all, the fear of God is a great restrainer of evil. According to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, the fear of the Lord is a great restrainer of evil. This verse reads as follows: by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The only way America can experience a national revival is for the fear of God to be restored to the hearts of our citizens. If we fear God, we will eschew evil as Job did. If we fear God, we will regard God's authority as expressed in His holy word, the Bible. We will fear His displeasure. If we fear the Lord, our hearts will be kept right by that fear. Also, the fear of God will bring people to Christ for salvation. Psalm 85 verse 9 puts it this way. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Also, the fear of God will cause men to depart from evil. Proverbs 16 verse 6. Again, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Also, the fear of God will move us to seek the salvation of others. If we had more of the fear of God in our churches, we would have more saved. God gave the following warning to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for or a warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That's Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 states this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Then we have Jude verses 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. Repeat that, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Also, the fear of God will produce purity. Psalm 19 verse 9 puts it this way, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Also, the fear of God will keep us clean when love will not. Unless we have the fear of God in our hearts, we will not shun sin and hate it. Psalm 119 verse 104 has this to say, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 128 and Psalm 119 states this, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, the fear of God in our hearts will also make us what we ought to be. The fear of God in our hearts will make us what we ought to be. The fear of God will affect every aspect of our lives. It will affect our marriage. Number one, Ephesians 5:21 states this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fear of God will also affect our relations with our employers. Colossians 3 verse 22 puts it this way, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Again, that's Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Also, the fear of God will affect our happiness and holiness. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, after having given the admonishment to believers to separate, the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul in the very first verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us clean ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me repeat that, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The fear of God will also purify our worship and our doctrine. There is much strange fire being offered up in our churches as worship unto God. That is very dangerous, as Nadab and Abihu learned in Leviticus chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 22 verses 25 and 26 had this to say about those who corrupt holy things. Folks, I would say welcome to America if you're looking for a place that corrupts holy things. But here's what the prophet Ezekiel had to say about it in Ezekiel 22. We'll start with verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the clean and the unclean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. That's Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 25 and 26. The Lord Jesus Christ was very concerned about our doctrine as it relates to true worship, because he had this to say in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Again, that is Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Most of what goes on in American churches is vain worship. It is a bunch of man-pleasing, politically correct, spiritual garbage that offends God and grieves God the Holy Ghost. That especially applies to music, folks. In 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps. I want you to listen to that. Who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was. And he goes on to list them out. And then I think it's probably three other times all the way up through verse 6 in that one chapter where God talks about the musical instruments. Don't you hear that? The musical instruments prophesying. That's what they're doing. That's how important your music is in the church. Your instruments prophesy. Ephesians 5 verse 19 sets this requirement for good, godly Christian music. Especially imported in the church and even imported in your private life. If your private music is corrupt, then that corruption is eventually going to move into the church. But, Ephesians 5:19 says this about that music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 puts it this way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, that's Colossians 3 verse 16. Salvation, folks, will give you a new song to sing. Revelation chapter 5 verses 9 and 10 identifies one of those new songs as it states the following. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That is Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. The phrase sing unto is used 27 times in our King James Bible. It is always used in relation to God and never man. Repeat, it is always used in relation to God and never man. Psalm 149 verse 1 tells us, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Next up, I have to forthrightly deal with what the Bible should be our greatest fear next to the fear of God. That fear is a godly fear of the eternally burning lake of fire. Scripturally, our fears listed in order must be: number one, we need to fear God. Number two, we need to fear hell itself. And then number three, we need to fear death itself. The Lord Jesus Christ issued this dire warning to hell-bound sinners, lost sinners, in Luke chapter 12, verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Lord Jesus Christ bluntly warned us that we are to fear hell itself more than we are to fear death. Think about the full implications of that statement. Think. Because if we are not preaching on hell in our churches, hell is enlarging itself by leaps and bounds every second, folks. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14 states it this way: therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. That's Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14. The word fire is used in connection with the very first occurrences of the word hell in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in Deuteronomy 32 verse 22 and also in Matthew chapter 5 verse 22. In both cases, it is God himself speaking of the fires of hell. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 22, it is Jehovah speaking, and in Matthew chapter 5 verse 22, it is Jehovah manifested in the flesh that is speaking. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The two longest passages in the New Testament that testify to the burning reality of hell are Luke chapter 16 verses 19 through 31 and Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15. We're going to read those two passages along with Deuteronomy 32 verse 22 and also Matthew chapter 5 verse 22. And remember what I just said. You ought to fear hell more than death itself. I want you to dwell on that and think about that. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 22 states this: for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Matthew chapter 5 verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So we see in those first two occurrences fire is used in relation to hell. Next up, we're going to read about the rich man and Lazarus from Luke chapter 16 verses 19 through 31. Listen up to this, folks. Listen, digest it, meditate upon it. If you're lost, you need to especially meditate upon it. And for us Christians, we ought to meditate upon it and keep this in the back of our minds. People are dying and going to hell every day. Are we being a bad testimony to those around us because we're living in a manner that is not consistent with what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us remember? We are unholy, we're sinful, and we're unseparated. And because of that, We don't have a lot of power in our preaching and teaching, and we need power when we start talking about hell, folks, because there's people dying and going there every second. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And I would warn you, folks, that is not a parable. That is a factual account given by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning one specific rich man that died. That he did not call out by name, but he did call Lazarus out. And there's a world of difference in the places where they're going to spend their eternities. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 is up next. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Before we move on, we want to give you a little bit of a reminder here. The word hell is used 54 different times in the King James Bible. It's an ever-present reality throughout the pages of the Scripture. And the doctrine of everlasting punishment is mentioned a total of at least 88 times in your Bible when we consider the 54 times for the doctrine of hell. Folks, eternal punishment is a reality, and we need to think about that when we start getting into areas where we could compromise our testimony, and because of that compromise, not be able to have the Holy Ghost work in us to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be holy, and we need to remember that people are dying and going to hell. If we're not very careful, we can lead somebody astray. Now, in closing, there are four forms of fear that hinder our relationship with God. 14 different times, times, God's people are told to fear not their circumstances, nor even be dismayed at them. God said the following in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 states this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Now, perhaps our greatest living fear is the fear of man. And remember, we just saw that the fear of man bringeth a snare. When we fear men, we will compromise on Bible doctrine, especially doctrine related to hellfire. The fear of men bringeth the snare of the devil. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, lest ye be caught in the snare of the devil and be held captive at his will. I want you to remember this, to fear God, and most of all, you need to remember you are under an obligation to teach those who sit under you, your sons and daughters, your wives and your parents and anybody that you run into, you're supposed to be teaching them to fear the Lord. And that's something that is just not being done in our society or in our churches. And it's obvious if you take a look at how heretical and apostate our churches have become, and as a result, how wicked American society has become as a result of having no fear of God. I want to thank you for joining us today.